Hey everyone, I'm your host Felicia Fitzpatrick and welcome to a special episode of Call and Response Podcast. So, last time we released an episode was during the holidays, talking about the Ellington Strayhorn Nutcracker, and I promised a new season was coming. And it is! It is in the works, people. but you know what they say, good things take time, and I really want to make sure season 6 is great for y'all. But I've also learned since the last season that it's okay to do things a little outside the box or break the rules. As a Virgo moon, that has been hard for me to accept, but I am trying, and I am learning. And this special episode was an idea near and dear to my heart, so I didn't want to not do it just because I felt like I had to stick to a set of rules in my mind, you know? 30 years ago, on April 18th, 1994, Disney Theatrical marked an unforgettable milestone. It opened its first show on Broadway. It was the stage musical adaptation of one of its top animated films during the Disney Renaissance, Beauty and the Beast. Based on the 1756 fairy tale from Jean-Marie Le Prince du Beaumont, it's a tale as old as time, to borrow a phrase from the musical's titular song. The story centers on the relationship between Belle, a beautiful bookworm whose love of reading makes her an outsider in her provincial town, and a prince who has been transformed into a beast because of a spell cast on him due to his arrogance and cruel treatment of a beggar woman who is secretly an enchantress. Oh, and her spell also made all the people in the prince's court turn into household objects, like Lumiere, the lustful candlestick, Cogsworth, the tightly wound clock, and Mrs. Potts, the matronly teapot. The 1991 film had made a huge splash at the box office, garnering acclaim from critics and fans, and it was the first animated film to ever win the Golden Globe Award for Best Motion Picture, Comedy, or Musical, and it was the first animated film to be nominated in the Best Original Picture category at the Oscars. Though it lost that award to The Silence of the Lambs, Beauty and the Beast did take home the Academy Awards for Best Original Score and Best Original Song for its title song. And I mean, the music from Alan Menken and Howard Ashman is such a huge part of the movie, just to ask any millennial. You got all of those iconic songs like Be Our Guest, Gaston, Belle, and of course, like we've been talking about, Beauty and the Beast. So it's safe to say the animated film had a major impact on all millennials and Disney kids who grew up during the Disney Renaissance, myself included. I can't even actually remember how many times I watched the animated film growing up, but I do remember the first time I saw a stage production of the Broadway musical. A friend from school was in a Christian youth theater production of it in Vancouver, Washington when we were in middle school, and I was immediately enchanted by it. I mean, I begged my mom to buy me the original Broadway cast album, and I listened to it on repeat. Like, I don't think y'all get it. I would just sit there listening over and over again, memorizing the voices of the original Broadway cast members Susan Egan and Terrence Mann, who played Belle and the Beast. And I have gotten to meet them both and express how much their performances meant to me, which was, like, truly a dream come true. And in addition to performing Belle's parts in my bathroom basically every day, with props, might I add, I began obsessively researching the show and looking up behind-the-scenes videos on YouTube because, you know, we did not have Instagram and TikTok back then. During my research, I had learned that Grammy Award-winning singer Toni Braxton had starred as Belle on Broadway in late 1998. And it was exciting to see a black woman in that role, but it also didn't strike me as this, like, crazy, out-of-this-world kind of casting. It was kind of just like, oh, that's dope, a black woman's Belle. And maybe that's because Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella starring Brandy had just come out, and I was all for seeing black women as Disney princesses. But what I really found fascinating is that she actually had a song added to the show for her, A Change in Me, which led to a whole other YouTube rabbit hole that I fell down. And now lately, we've seen more Disney princesses be played by black women. From her playing Belle in the animated film's 30th anniversary TV special, to Halle Bailey playing Ariel in the live adaptation of The Little Mermaid. Halle Bailey's casting caused quite a stir on the internet, with reactions ranging from people not wanting to see this type of racial representation, to amazingly emotional and moving videos of young black girls watching and singing along, finally seeing themselves as a princess. And of course, you know, it'd be great to see more stories of princesses who were black to begin with, but for all of us who grew up with these movies, I think it's cool to see these new layers added to have a black woman play the princesses we know and love. But maybe again, that's because I grew up with Brandy Cinderella. The Whitney Houston line where she says, "You think the prince fell in love with your fancy gown and pretty braids?" And the R&B orchestration and arrangement of In My Own Little Corner is what made me fall in love with that musical. And I can't tell you the feeling of shock I had when I heard the original tempo of that song, because I just thought it was the way it was in that movie. As for Beauty and the Beast, this musical will be forever one of my favorites. Since that first production, I've seen at least 10 productions across the country. I mean, I had my mom driving around the states of Washington, Oregon, and Texas for us to see productions of it, okay? So I knew I had to do something to honor the 30th anniversary of Beauty and the Beast premiering on Broadway. And I thought, why not celebrate with a special podcast episode? And so I chatted with three Black actors about their experience portraying Belle in regional productions across the country. We'll hear from Brianna Brooks, who played Belle at Zack Theater in Austin, Texas in 2018.
And Belle is so unbothered. Even in the animated version, that woman is like, I'm reading my book, please. I'm trying to be, I want to be cultured. I want to know. I want to gain knowledge.
Jade Jones, who played Belle at the Olney Theater Center in Maryland in 2021 and 2022.
Belle wasn't like a dream role for me. I always thought that if I was going to do the show professionally, and even when they came out with the audition announcement for the production I was in, I always assumed I was going to be either Mrs. Potts or Cogsworth.
And Ashley Blanchett, who played Belle during summer 2023 at the Muni in St. Louis, Missouri.
You know, the number of little Black girls that come up to me after the show and are like, oh my God, like, you're me. Like, I never would have thought. I never would have imagined. And, you know, I never would have imagined myself as Belle, you know? And it was only after I was cast that I started thinking about how I could relate to her.
Belle, the story's protagonist, was intentionally written by the film screenwriter Linda Wolverton as a strong, independent character to combat Disney's history of victimizing their women characters. As far as her look, animators sought inspiration from Natalie Wood, Elizabeth Taylor, and Grace Kelly. She was considered beautiful by the residents of her small town, but ostracized by them because she also liked to read, which was a head-scratcher for Jade.
You know, it's so crazy in the movie and even in the Broadway show that, like, she's this odd girl. And it's like, well, why is she odd? Because she likes to read?
Brianna appreciated how unbothered Belle was about the town people's opinions of her, how grounded she was, and how curious she was about the world.
I think she's self-assured, even though throughout she has moments of doubt, but who doesn't, you know, through life. But I think out the gate, Belle is very grounded in who she is and how she moves about the world.
Ashley, who grew up watching tons of Disney movies, has reflected on the power of Belle now that she's older.
Well, I don't think I thought as deeply about how incredible it is, that story and the way that it's written and how brilliant Howard Ashman was. But she is such a feminist icon, Belle. And I don't think I really thought about that as a kid, but we were very lucky to grow up with Disney princesses that began to be more empowered. You know, Princess Jasmine, like, you know, these are stronger women than the Disney princesses that came before them. And Belle is definitely, I think, the main one. I mean, her superpower is that she's educated, that she likes to read. That's amazing. She's different. She's not like everybody else. But she's sort of comfortable with that. And she kind of teaches this man self-love, you know, through her being kind of a geek and kind of a smart person. And I think that's really cool that we had that growing up, you know, in the 90s as our princess, not just somebody that was there to be rescued, you know?
Though she grew up loving Disney movies, Ashley didn't necessarily relate to the Disney princesses as she considered herself more of a tomboy.
I definitely didn't see myself as, like, you know, frilly, prissy, princessy type.
Same with Jade, who had a very Disney childhood, but never related to the Disney princesses.
Yeah, my relationship to Disney was I never wanted to be the Disney princess. I definitely had a Disney childhood. Let's not mistake that. But I was never looking to be the princess, the Ariel, the Belle, the Princess Jasmine. Like, I always wanted to be like Aladdin, you know what I mean? Or, you know, Simba or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, I just always related to, and not even necessarily like male characters, but like, just characters that were not boring. You know, I just love doing theater, and it's my job. And, you know, if somebody says, hey, come in for this, and I can connect to the character in some way, I'll go in and audition for it. You know what I mean? And that's how it was. It was like fun, you know, it was like fun to be able to relate to this character in a way that I had never related to them before.
Ashley also worked to find touch points in Belle's character that she could relate to. As far as feeling like an outsider, her Black identity helped shape her perspective.
You know, I think with every part that I've played, you try to get into it by finding, you know, what about this is like me and how I relate to Belle and how I relate to, you know, all these different princesses does very much relate to my race. So I think that, you know, whenever I am playing the part, it definitely is a part of how I play the part. You know what I mean? I am super light-skinned. That's definitely a privilege that I like to acknowledge. Whether I've had privileges or not, I definitely see the world differently and am treated in the world differently because of the color of my skin. And I think more than anything, it's the way I see it. It's coming from the history of being a Black woman and my parents being Black people and the way that they saw the world is just different. It just comes from a Black perspective. And, you know, just like little things like having to work that much harder to prove that I can exist in these rooms or, you know, my dad being like a high CEO, you know, at a company, but then being pulled over by the police and watching him shrink down, like, and have to, like, you know, really change who I saw him as, because he was speaking to police and we had to be very careful. And I'm just going to reach and get my wallet. And, you know, that whole thing and living in a world like that definitely informs how I see Belle, how I see, you know, an outsider of a town. And in some ways I feel like, you know, I can relate to that on a whole different level than other people might be able to.
Ashley, who played Cinderella at Paper Mill Playhouse in 2019, noticed that the media immediately started giving her the title The Black Cinderella, which gave her both a sense of pride and pressure.
I got cast as like Cinderella and it became this big thing, like, you know, Playbill Broadway World, like, you know, it's Black Cinderella. Can you believe it? Like, you know, they're doing Black Cinderella. And I felt like this pressure, you know, to make sure that, like, you know, okay, what does Black Cinderella mean? And like, am I going to be dark enough on stage to warrant that? And you know what I mean? All this extra stuff that came along with it. And then Mark came up to me, their district director, and Mark Hobie, and he was like, I just cast you because when you came in the room, I thought you were Cinderella. And it didn't have anything to do with being like, we're going to get that check mark of it being a Black person. And I feel like that to me really hit home, because I want to get to a place where I don't have to be Black Cinderella or Black Belle or Black, the first Black Elsa. Like, I would just like to be Elsa. I would just like to be Belle. I would just like to be Cinderella. And he saw me that way. And I really appreciated that, like, you know, he's able to, at the same time, keep his mind open that Cinderella could be Black. You know what I mean? He doesn't have to deliberately be like, our Cinderella will be Black and only Black. He's like, the best person for the part is going to get it. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's really important to me as an actor, that, you know, we're not so stressed out about race that we're not casting the best person for the role in either direction. And I'm also proud of being Black. You know, I'm proud of where I've come from. I'm proud of, you know, who I am. And I'm proud of Black women in general. So I do think it is something to be celebrated in general. I do think it's a big part of, you know, of who we all are.
Brianna, who grew up loving the music of Beauty and the Beast, and even watched Toni Braxton premiere A Change in Me on the Rosie O'Donnell Show, had similar thoughts while she was auditioning for the role.
It's interesting looking back at it, because I already kind of, unfortunately, counted myself out. It was, you know, I was just like, all right, like, I love the show. I love the music from the, you know, the Broadway musical, but you never know how these things are gonna go.
When she did get the role of Belle, Brianna felt a bit of pressure herself.
There were so many things that I had to uphold because I didn't want to erase my Black womanhood at all. But also there's this, you know, we grew up watching the movie and listening to specific people sing the score year after year for, I don't remember how long the musical was on Broadway, but the majority of the women playing Belle looked a very specific way and sounded a very specific way. And Disney, you know, has its style as well. So there was all of that. But at the same time, I got to a point where I was like, I'm just gonna do what I do, you know, and enjoy it. Because it was a big deal. At first, I didn't really realize how much of a big deal it was because I was like, oh, fun, Belle, yes. Then I was like, wait a minute. Yeah, hold on. I need to do this part justice. I really do.
Here's more from Ashley about the sense of pressure of being a Black woman playing a role that was originally white.
Belle, the original person for this, was a white girl. So it's like me pretending to be this white girl. And I think a lot of a lot of old musical theater, when I am playing those parts, I'm sort of like, just kind of imagine that I'm not Black, or imagine that, like, you know, civil rights never happened. And in colorblind casting, a lot of times I am sort of just pretending to be white. Right. And that's a struggle for me, because either you have to just be like, imagine I'm white, or say to the audience, imagine that civil rights never happened. Like, imagine that, you know, imagine that, like, we never harmed Black people and that wasn't a thing.
When Ashley told me that, it really struck me. The conversation about racial representation in the theater can't just be about plugging Black actors into roles that are already white. Yes, it's great to see these new layers that they can bring to characters because of their identity, but is it fair for Black artists to hold this kind of burden? For Brianna, she embraces the title Black artist or Black actor, but realizes that that prefix can limit other people's ideas on what she can do.
It's. I feel like there can be so many sides to that, because I definitely, like, I'm a Black artist. I never want to deny that part of myself, but I also understand, be like, but I am an artist. I am an actor. Like, I can do many, many, many a thing. And I think, too, it comes down to how you see yourself, because I know for me and my career, I see myself doing so many things. I really don't see too many limits on the parts I can play or the types of productions I can be a part of. But sometimes you realize, like, not everyone has that perspective because of what they may assume about you because of, you know, race and gender and all of the things, you know. So I feel like that can be the frustrating part. Yeah. Which is why when I auditioned for Beauty and the Beast in the beginning, I was like, well, because there's that awareness, but also the awareness, like, I'm more than capable of doing this, definitely. But also knowing, like, the world that we live, it's tricky.
Not only can it create friction in one's performance, but there are so many more elements to true representation than people may realize, like costume and wig design.
When it came to costuming and hair, that was a whole conversation. Like, the visual aspect, there was a whole situation with that, with my experience, about, you know, the design, which was beautiful, but how I saw her, how I felt her in my body versus, you know, how the creative team and, you know, all of those things. Maybe it's more important than people actually realize, because you want to feel good when you step on the stage. You want to feel like you are in your body, and how you present yourself does matter.
As for Jade, who identifies as non-binary, they worked with their director, Marsha Milgram Dodge, on aligning Belle with their own gender identity to upend Disney's gender roles.
You know, I was talking to my director, and she's like, why would she be going in the woods with a blue in a blue dress to look for her father? Like, what? Like, no. And so there, and, you know, I got to have a say in my costume a lot. I mean, they did the original renderings and I was like, oh, hell yeah. And then it was like, okay, red boots. Let's go with red Doc Martens. Because it's like, again, why is this girl going through the woods at night running from wolves in heels and a blue dress.
For Ashley, who understudied Elsa in Frozen on Broadway, she had a discussion of how to keep Elsa's signature blonde hair while also looking realistic with her skin tone.
Elsa is so iconically the way that she is with her blonde hair. And so I had a lot of meetings with the hair designer and with Disney because I was afraid that if I didn't look like Elsa, that they would put me on the stage less, because they would be afraid that there'd be more kids that were like, you know, that's not Elsa, you know, because kids are very, you know, visually oriented.
But when she was playing Belle, there seemed to be no problem with little girls seeing Ashley as Belle. She had plenty of young fans come up to her in Belle's iconic yellow dress, excited that they finally had a Belle who looked like them.
I have the best video at the Muni of a girl dressed, I'll send it to you. She's dressed up in like her Belle gold outfit, and her dad is just like, I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy for you. And like, he's crying. And I'm like, you look just like me. And she's like, you know what I mean? And I think, you know, the surprise of that like, okay, we're going to go see Belle. And guess what? You don't even have to transfer this. You know, she's going to look like you. So you can really, you have permission to imagine yourself, you know, along with this story. You don't have to feel like an outsider of this story.
Jade not only witnessed people driving to Maryland from Florida and Texas to see them as Belle, but they made global headlines with their casting.
I really couldn't believe it, honestly. Like, it was a smaller regional theater in Maryland. And, you know, we're used to getting attention, but, you know, local attention. And so it was like the first person that like reached out to me was like from Ireland or something like that. And I was just like, I don't even know, like, how did this get over there? Like, I really witnessed the power of social media and really going viral, because it really just like, it spread like wildfire. And it just brought like so much attention and clarity to the fact that like people don't see themselves represented in, you know, the industry, TV, film, on stage. And so I think that is why it got so much attention.
And Jade was heavily encouraged to do their own interpretation of Belle, with their director even pulling them aside when it seemed like Jade was dipping into the stereotypical Disney princess sensibility. Bring you, she told Jade. We cast you for you.
We all know with Disney, you know, there are gender roles, even as cartoons, you know, there are gender roles. And we learn, as kids, we learn so much about what it is to be a woman or a man, or we learn that literally from Disney from the jump. And so I think it was really cool and really important to show that, yeah, like, you know, a non-binary person. And yes, during that time I was using she, they pronouns, but I still, in everything that I did and beyond, associated with the queer community, the non-binary community. I think it brought just a whole different layer to the character.
It's clear these actors' performances changed their audiences, but did their experience have them singing A Change in Me in real life? Sorry, I had to. So I asked them what they learned about themselves and any misconceptions about Disney princesses during their time playing Belle. Here's Ashley.
Well, going from the girl that wasn't girly girly and looked on girly girly stuff as weaker, I think there's something really important about the idea of being able to be soft, be feminine, and powerful at the same time, and a boss at the same time. Just because you want to be taken seriously doesn't mean that you have to wear pants. I think it's a new wave. It should be a new wave of feminism, right? That we should be allowed to be as feminine as we want and be taken as seriously as if we were not feminine.
Ambriana?
In so many ways. I mean, sometimes I think about that time or I look back at like a clip of it that I have and I'm like, I did that. I did every show, first of all. I was like, I did every show. So that alone, I was like, you did that. So you can do a lot of things that you were, you know, because I was afraid. I was very nervous. I was like, can I even physically do this? So knowing that, it's like, yeah, I can do things. So that alone, and getting to work with so many amazing, lovely people and getting to spend a summer doing such a fun show, you know, but also being like, I had to learn how to be able to do a large show, a long show, consistently, and learning how my body works, how my voice works, and what I need to do physically to do my job.
And Jade.
And, you know, growing up, I never felt like I fit in. And even now, and it was always such a negative thing for me. And now not fitting in is the perfect thing for me. Like I've embraced it so much, my uniqueness and having something that not everybody has, you know what I mean? And so that was what we kind of focused in on. And even not just the physical, obviously, but like just things about me that are just different. I really brought a lot of myself to the character.
While all three of these Black actors are different people with different perspectives and different interpretations of Belle, they all brought their own special individuality and identity to elevate this tale as old as time. And they all hope to see Disney and the entertainment industry at large continue to cast so stories reflect the world around us. If you want to follow any of these actors, head to Instagram and follow Brianna Brooks at BRINANA8, Jade Jones at LITTY official, and Ashley Blanchett at A_BLANCHET. Make sure to follow Colin Response on Instagram at ConResponseNYC. And stay tuned because I am working on an article related to this whole topic that will be coming out later this spring, and I know you'll want to check it out. And lastly, happy 30th anniversary to Beauty and the Beast. Thank you, thank you, thank you for filling our lives with a little magic and enchantment in the last 3 decades. I think I'm going to go listen to the cast album right now and give a performance in my bathroom mirror just for old time's sake. Until next time, y'all.